So lots of states had tight Senate and gubernatorial races. Some weren't as tight as was expected going in. So Jeremy and I are going to take a quick look. I'm going to start with Colorado, where the Republican Congressman Cory Gardner defeated the Democratic incumbent Mark Udall to take his seat in one of the country's most watched races. Then the Democratic Governor John Hickenlooper won a second term, but barely. He beat the Republican Bob Beaupre, but the race wasn't called till this morning. Megan Verley is with the Here Now contributing station Colorado Public Radio. And Megan, I want to just cut to the chase. Did the Democrats rely too much on reproductive rights here? We know there was a question on the ballot about personhood, but it was defeated, and it drew people to the polls maybe to defeat it, but that didn't seem to boost Udall. So what do you think?
I think it depends a lot on who you ask. Democrats this morning are saying, no, it wasn't a single-issue campaign. Udall talked about a lot of stuff. This was really the opposition painting as a single issue. But when you talk to independent strategists, they say, yeah, Udall may have hit his support for reproductive rights and his Cory Gardner's past support of personhood. Gardner did actually back away from the initiative this time around too hard and turned off men and didn't win over women in the margin he hoped to.
Right, and it did not help that the state's leading paper, the Denver Post, endorsed Cory Gardner. In fact, I think they were the ones who called Udall Senator Uterus for his focus.
Well, they were quoting a Republican operative, but boy, did that name stick. I was at the Republican celebration last night, and there were a lot of goodbye Mark Uterus buttons on people's lapels.
Well, but and you know, he did have so many supporters who are worried about an erosion of women's rights in the reproductive area. But we see how that played out in Colorado. What about the governor's race? John Hickenlooper just barely beat his opponent, Bob Beaupre. When we last spoke to you, you said that unemployment in Colorado was at its lowest since 2008. But voters weren't paying attention to that. They were more disappointed that the governor hadn't done enough on oil and gas development. Was that what happened, do you think?
I don't think so. It looks like Hickenlooper's returns, even from parts of the state that really want to slow down oil and gas development, stayed pretty strong. But this was obviously a Republican-favored year. Our state legislature may flip from entirely Democratic control to Republican. So actually, the fact that Hickenlooper squeaked this one out by the thinnest of margins, he's the only Democrat who is celebrating today in Colorado, I think.
Yeah. Well, what about marijuana? The state has legalized it. Was that an issue in this election? Was there some backlash here?
Not really. I think both candidates in the governor's race are not fans of legal marijuana. And Beaupre did say that he would try and work for its repeal. He walked back from those comments shortly afterwards. Legal marijuana passed by such a wide margin that even though the rollout has been a bit rocky and there are definitely big questions about edibles and youth use, nobody could really walk away from it that much. What voters mostly showed in local elections this time around is that they really want to tax marijuana. They passed a bunch of marijuana taxes.
They want to make some more money off of it.
Oh, yes.
Well, Megan Verley, again, of Colorado Public Radio, we wake up today. What color is Colorado?
Very purple.
Okay. Not blue or red. Megan, thanks
so much.
Yeah, Megan, thank you.
And let's go to neighboring Kansas now, where voters stuck to their roots, reelecting Republican Senator Pat Roberts for a fourth term. Kansas has elected Republicans to the U.S. Senate since 1932. But this year, there was some doubt that history would repeat itself. With us for more is Peggy Lowe, analyst at Kansas City Public Radio. Peggy, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Jeremy. Nice to talk to you.
So what happened?
Well, it was a red romp, really, at the end of the day, and it surprised everyone because the polls leading up to this, to Election Day yesterday, showed that Brownback, the governor, was in trouble, showed that Senator Pat Roberts was in trouble, and that the Democrat in Brownback's case might beat him. And then this independent insurgent named Greg Orman was running a really good race against Senator Pat Roberts. So it really surprised everyone going into election night.
Well, what do you think was the reason that they were able to hold on despite all that voter anger out there? We talked about it before, Peggy, and you were talking about how Brownback's economic policies many voters didn't feel had worked. So why did they decide to reelect him and Pat Roberts?
I think in both cases, Paul Davis, the Democrat who was running against Sam Brownback, and also Greg Orman, who was running against Roberts, they were running against things, but they never defined what they were running for. You know, Orman was saying that he was running against Washington gridlock, for instance. And that left him open to Pat Roberts defining him as some sort of closet case, you know, Democrat who would be the tool for Obama and Harry Reid. That isn't the case, but Roberts kept repeating it over and over and over again in ads and on the stump, as did Brownback. He labeled Paul Davis a liberal, you know, Lawrence lawyer, and liberal's a naughty word in Kansas.
All right, Peggy Lowe, analyst with Kansas City Public Radio, thank you for joining us. And let's go finally here to New Hampshire, where there was one bright spot for Democrats. Democratic Senator Jeanne Shaheen held on to her seat despite former Massachusetts Republican Senator Scott Brown's attempt to secure another seat in the Senate in the Northeast for Republicans. Joining us is Josh Rogers, reporter for New Hampshire Public Radio, part of the Here and Now Contributors Network. Josh, thanks for being here.
No problem, Jeremy.
And how did Jeanne Shaheen buck this trend?
Well, through organization, through being familiar to voters in New Hampshire. She served three terms as governor before she moved on to the Senate. And because she has retained popularity, even though she has largely voted with President Obama, as Scott Brown repeated ad nauseum, and even though President Obama, who did carry New Hampshire in 2008 and 2012, popularity is at all-time lows. Scott Brown did run a decent race here. He ran hard, ran a retail campaign, tried to nationalize it at every turn. You know, Shaheen out-organized the Brown people. And, you know, there was huge money spent in this race, more than $44 million in spending, if you include the outside money, and, you know, saturated airwaves. Reductive arguments. Shaheen's was, you can't trust Scott Brown. He's out for himself. Wrong for New Hampshire. Brown, you know, Jeanne Shaheen's a rubber stamp for President Obama. Right up until this race was called, people had a hard time knowing where this one was going to go. Shaheen people were somewhat nervous, but it did basically come in. The margin was about 4.7 thousand votes, came in right about what the polling average is.
And it makes you wonder if New Hampshire really is a purple state anymore, because if even in a huge Republican year like this, it stayed blue. And this is a state that every 4 years in the presidential race, both parties have to really fight hard in New Hampshire, although it does tend to these days end up going to the Democrat. Is it a purple state anymore, or is it now a blue state?
Well, you know, I don't really know. I mean, New Hampshire typically tends to go with any wave. In 2002, it went Republican. In 2010, it went Republican. 2006, 8, and 12, it went Democrat. You know, the last non-wave election was 2004. And while Democrats did do pretty well at the top of the ticket, Governor Hassan won, and Second District Congressperson Ann McLean Custer held off a challenge from Mara Linda Garcia. It's the other congressional seat held by a Democrat was lost. Republican Frank Into, who had held the seat, won that race. It was actually a third straight match between Carol Shea Porter and Frank Into, who used to be the mayor of Manchester. But more interestingly, down ticket, Republicans had a pretty strong day. They increased their advantages in the state house, picking up seats on the executive council, in the state senate, and flipping control of the New Hampshire House. It had been democratically held. It will be Republican held. So it's hard to know what to make of this.
Josh Rogers, reporter with New Hampshire Public Radio. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And Robin, just looking at some of the gubernatorial races that we got last night, as you said, John Hickenlooper winning as a Democrat in Colorado, but a lot of Republican wins. Rick Scott in Florida, Nathan Deal in Georgia, Bruce Rauner in Illinois. So we'll be following all of this as the day goes on here on NPR. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR in association with the BBC World Service. I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.